Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everybody out in radio land? Yes, it's Monday morning. Hey, you know it when you hear this voice. You know it's Monday morning, the day that Dr. Wilder comes to bring a word, hopefully, of encouragement, maybe some education in there, some enlightenment, inspiration. Hey, there, I'm bringing a lot of information, and out of that, there's something for everybody. That is my prayer. That is my intent. And, hey, I'm getting testimonies that that is exactly what's happening. Yes. Oh, you say, Dr. Wilder, you say testimonies? Yes. I call reports of goodness and the blessings that they are receiving from the broadcast a testimony. That's what I call it. Anyway, you might call it a report. You might call it feedback. Either way, I'm grateful, whatever you want to call it, and whatever you intend to provide to me, I receive it, I tell you, because I tell you all the time, come on, send me a word, send me a message, let me know what you're thinking about the broadcast, and if indeed you want something, a particular topic, or something to be broadcast. All right, listen, I won't hold it up. We will get right on into the show for today, the radio broadcast for today. As always, I have a topic that I think is going to, I consider it encouraging, all right? And that is, well, somebody say, but no, Dr. Wilder, you say it's supposed to be exciting. Well, okay, let me go back. I have a topic that is exciting again. Yes, it's exciting. To me, it is, all right? Anytime we get a word from the Lord and we get understanding from his word, that's exciting to me. So what is that topic for today? Reward for seeking honor. And I have in parentheses that so that you won't keep guessing about that is destruction. Reward for seeking honor. What's that reward? Destruction. All right, and I'm coming from Esther, Old Testament, Esther chapter 9, verses 20 through 25 in your hearing. All right, you got it? You got it? Are you ready? Let's get going, okay? So how do we go? What do we do first? You're right. You got it. I love it. I love it. You guys have been with me. You know the routine, and that is prayer. Prayer, which is always needed and always received. All right? So we come once again, Most High God. We come praising you. We come magnifying your name. We come sending our voices out, Lord. We, the radio audience and myself, that's we. We're coming, touching, and agreeing. The people that are listening and me and myself, Lord, we come together to say thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're yet doing. Thank you, Lord, that we can still trust your word, that your word is true. And, Lord God, you are true. You're the same God today as you were on yesterday. And that you still, Lord God, looking for somebody that would trust you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you put that trust in us, that we look to you for our help. We look to you for our strength. We look to you for our provision, because you promised to supply every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So we come saying thank you, and we come inviting your presence, your holy presence, your anointing, oh God, your Holy Spirit into this endeavor of this broadcast. That indeed you take over these lips of clay and you deliver this word, that, Lord, the listeners today will be blessed, they'll be encouraged, they'll be strengthened, they'll be enlightened. And most of all, God, they'll know that they know that they know that wherever they are, that you're concerned about them. Yes, that they have not been lost, they cannot be out of your sight, that you know everything that's going on with them. And so, Father, as we touch and agree, the nation and myself, about our nation, we come lifting up everything that's going on in our nation, all the politics and, Lord God, the medical situations, and, oh, God, those that are mourning today, those that are heavy laden today, we lift them all up to you because we know we need your help. We need your intervention in everything, that it will go smoothly, that it will go well with our souls. So we thank you once again for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, I pray and I say thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Bless the Lord. All right, so in your hearing, as I've already promised, from the book of Esther, Old Testament, come on, Old Testament, just before Job, the book that's just before Job, because many of you know how to find Job by now, right? You know that that comes just before the book of Psalms. So we find Psalms. Yeah, somebody said, thank you for helping me, Dr. Wilder. Well, you know, that's what I'm all about, trying to help us all grow. So you find Psalms, and then you go to the left, all right? And you're going to see Job, and then you go to the left, and you'll see Esther. Are you there? Does that help? Does that really help you? All right. I believe it did, all right? So here we are now, Esther chapter 9, starting at verse 20, and it reads Mordecai. I like to say Mordecai, but most people pronounce it Mordecai, wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar. Jews had rest from their enemies as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them and from mourning to a holiday that they should make them days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them and had cast the lot to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter, that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Ooh. Well, unless you know the story, it might not sound exciting to you, but I tell you, as I am going to attempt to give you the background here, as always, I invite you to go and read the whole chapter. The chapter itself consists of 10 verses, 10 chapters, 10 chapters. Esther, 10 chapters. So get a place, get yourself a comfortable place, get your favorite beverage, and the time of day that you're able to just sit and relax and be quiet, because you're going to be drawn into this whole story. And that's what I suggest you do. In fact, you know, I beg you to do that. Come on, put your head in the Bible. Well, okay, if you're going to use that device of yours, the phone or something else, that's all right. Sit with that too, but put your head in there and read the story. Come on, you're going to be encouraged from it. But in the meantime, today I'm coming to give you some background here and hopefully whet your appetite. This is a story, as we see in the Old Testament. As I've said before, it's the Old Testament. And many of you are familiar with the saying that if I perish, I perish. And that was the word that this same Esther, who had become queen, okay, in the Persian Empire. She was a Jew, yes. But indeed, the time had come that the edict had gone out to bring individuals in to take the place of the old queen, all right? And Esther had been one of those that had been chosen to come forth, and not only chosen to be amongst the many that would be chosen to be queen, she had been chosen to be queen. But indeed, initially, her heritage and her background was covered. She was given a command from her uncle, all right, from that one that was raising her, to not divulge that she was a Jew. She wasn't to let that be known that she was a Jew by heritage. But let me tell you, the favor of God was upon her from the beginning because, hey, she was beautiful. They didn't know that she was Jewish. And when she came in the preparation, in the time to be prepared for king that he would choose, his next queen, hey, she had favor with those that were making the preparation. Yes, she had favor. They gave her wisdom. They gave her counsel. They did everything to get her to come to the forefront, which indeed worked. Yes. But time went on that, hey, this king, he appointed one of his men. He gave him honor. He gave him a high position with him, all right? And this individual by the name of Haman, yes, he became high in the king's ranking. But you know what? It went to his head. It went to his head. And that's the first word to us. Pay attention, because you get lessons out of everything that I bring, remember? So anyway, he got appointed to this high position with the king. And so one of the things he decided was, you know, he wanted people to bow down before him. He wanted people to honor him. And, hey, most of them did. They did. They honored him. Every time he came out, they bowed down and they honored him. But guess what? There was one who would not bow down and would not honor him. And his name was, oh, yes, you guessed? Yes, you're right, Mordecai. Let me just stay with the way I pronounce it, okay? He would not do it. He would not bow down. And I tell you, this Haman got upset. You know how what that is like when you're just angry with somebody, that you ask them to do something and they won't do it, and they just seem to ignore you? Oh, my God, don't give you the honor you feel that you deserve. They don't recognize you in the extent that you feel like you deserve, all right? Well, that's the way he was. And so he decided, okay, that not he wouldn't just go against Mordecai, all right, but he would go against the whole nation of Jews because it had become known that he was a Jew. But before, he had already decided he would get rid of Mordecai by building a gallows, you know, a hanging trap to hang him. And he had it erected. In other words, right away, I would say that he was presumptuous because he didn't get the permission initially from the king. He just had it built because, wait a minute, the king had given him permission. The king had given him the permission and even given him his ring, which would be if he wrote anything and he stamped it with the king's ring, it was edict. It was settled. It was law, all right? And it couldn't be changed. And so basically he had all of this power. He had power. But, hey, his heart, a prideful heart, was driving him in the use of that power. So he was setting all these things up. And with the ring, as I said, he had decided not just him, not just Mordecai, but I'm going to get rid of all of the Jews. And remember, let me tell you, there were 127 provinces under this king's jurisdiction. And yet this Haman decided he's going to get rid of all of them, everybody throughout the nation, throughout the area. In fact, he had told the king, he had come before the king, and at first, and he said, you know, you got some people throughout your province, you got people throughout your, under your jurisdiction that don't believe like you believe. They don't believe like us. They're different. And they don't believe and they don't follow your laws and your guidelines. And from that, he got the permission to send out an edict to destroy them. Oh, well, you know some money had to be involved, right? Because that we threw that in. He said, they don't honor your laws. So, hey, you know, I will come up with so much money. He named the amount, all right? And all of this so that we can destroy them, so that you won't come short of what's due unto you. Huh. How many are relating to this right now? You're already saying, I know that. I know something that's going on like that. Money talks. Money talks. Yes, it does. And if you present it in the right way to someone whose heart is not right, okay, or, hey, it'll talk louder, right? And so this is what happened. So the king had given him his ring. He had written his letter and stamped it and sent it out through all the provinces that on a certain day, that the Jews were to be destroyed. Oh, my God. It was all set that they were all to be destroyed. Well, guess what? This Mordecai, the one who, hey, that was just rubbing Haman, so to speak, rubbing him. I call it rubbing because every time he looked at him, every time he heard his name, it bothered him, okay? So, but he got word of this. And so he had said to Esther, the queen, remember? They were related. And he had said to her that she needed to go before the king on behalf of her people. But look, at first she said, I can't do that. If I try to go before the king without him calling for me, I'll be destroyed. And so Mordecai sent another word back telling her, hey, either you do it or, you know, not only that, God will raise up somebody to do it, and you and your household will be destroyed as well. Hey, so in your attempt to cover yourself and to save yourself, will be setting yourself up for destruction. That's what he was saying to her. And so once again, she sent word back to him, says, okay, you know, if everybody fasts with me and fasts for me and so forth, she says, all right, I'll do it. She says, so, and if I perish, I perish. In other words, hey, if the king, he didn't send for me and I dare to try to go before him and he says, hey, away with her, she says, that's what will happen. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do as you're requesting. So anyway, look, you got this parallel story going on, right? You have this person by the name of Haman, who wants to do away with Mordecai, all right? And he's making preparations to not only do away with him, but to do away with the whole nation of the Jews that were there, okay, in exile. That's what they were because, hey, they had been carried there, all right? They were now under this Persian dominance, all right? And so, listen, you had that story going on with it, making all this preparation, and then he was going to come to talk to the king about hanging him, all right, and everything. And so then you had this queen that was making preparations that she would go before the king to stop this. Guess what? The time came that they kind of came together. Here it was that Esther made the request. She had gone. She went out there and she made the request to come before the king. And when he looked up and saw her standing in the palace in the area, you know, that he looked out to see her, and he called for her. He allowed her an audience, and she came. And he said to her, what is it that you want? You know, make your request, make your petition. What is it that you want? Now, listen, this is when favor comes in, when we're doing the right thing. Remember, favor, we've learned that favor goes farther than money. Yes, favor will get us positions. That's what we want to seek from God. We want to seek his favor because his favor means on his good side, his good graces and doing what pleases him. Because when we do that, hey, the Bible even goes on to say, hey, if our ways please the Lord, we can ask him what we want, and it'll be done for us, okay? And so listen, so she had this favor. She had this audience. And he said, now make your petition, okay? Make your request. And he said, whatever it is, you can have it, up to half the kingdom. Oh, that's a lot. That was a lot. And so she lets him know, you know, I'm preparing. I have prepared a banquet that I want you to come to, a banquet for you, but I want you to bring Haman with you. Okay? She didn't make her full request known yet. She just said, hey, I want to celebrate and I'm planning a party for you. And so it happened. And then he came in again and said, what do you want? What do you want? Okay? And so this time she says, I want you to come back tomorrow, but one that I will prepare for you tomorrow and bring Haman. All right? So here we are. They're there. Now she's getting ready to make her move. She's getting ready to express what she really wants. And that it is the concern about her people. She goes on to tell the king how an evil plot had been issued to destroy her people. And what she wanted was her own life to be preserved and her people's lives to be preserved. And so the king, she has the king's ear, remember? She has the king's ear. So he says, who is this? Who is daring to do this evil thing? Who dares to do it? All right? And so she goes, By that time, I'm sure Haman was getting a little nervous. Don't you think he was getting upset? Oh, yeah, but go read the Bible. Read it. I told you, read it. All right? Because he knows now it's talking about him. And so, yes, so she tells him it's Haman. So, the king gets really upset, real upset. And guess what? Not only does he get upset, he steps out because he's so upset. He's already promoted him, and he's been tricked even by when he gave him his signet, his ring, that he was allowed to write these letters and send out these edicts to destroy the whole nation. So I can imagine a lot was going on with the king. He was angry probably with Haman. He might have been angry with himself. The Bible doesn't tell us that part. It just said that he was upset. But you know, hey, let's enter into the story and think of how we would feel. How would you feel knowing that he couldn't have issued such a decree unless the king's signet had been assigned to it, and he had given Haman that permission, so to speak, without knowing what he was going to do, without knowing how wicked he was. Oh. So he stepped out the room. And as Haman was left there with Queen Esther. And now, where he was so big and bad before, now he wants to plead for his life before Esther, begging her, hey, one that he wanted to destroy, begging her, okay, that maybe she would speak well for him. Yes, and he was so overwhelmed with his grief and his concern that the Bible lets us know that when the king stepped back in there, he had fallen on the bed, on Esther's bed, and the king didn't wait for any explanation. He didn't wait. He just figured, now, not only have you done this thing, but now, hey, you're going to, right in my own house, right in here, you're going to attack the queen? He was in bad shape, don't you think? He was in bad shape. I want you to follow me in this story because this is not so far-fetched that our hearts can be so lifted up in pride that we can get carried away. We can do manipulation. We can do all of these things. And then when the truth begins to come out, then, hey, we turn. And we can be so overwhelmed with fear of destruction, fear of being uncovered, fear of being tossed out that, hey, oh, my God. What will happen? So look, what I want you to follow, so maybe I went ahead of myself in telling you all that because it's exciting to me. I want to talk to you about the heart of this Haman, how when he got promoted and everything, how high and lifted he up he was. But also I want to show you how God intervenes. Now, these were God's people that were being attacked. These were God's people that this edict had gone out for to destroy them. But let's tell you, go back earlier. Go back a little bit earlier. Fine, there is, what did I tell you, parallel stories going on? Well, cave while this thing was being plotted, the king lost sleep. He couldn't sleep at night. He couldn't sleep one night. What am I going to tell you now? What I'm telling you is that God will fight your battles. The word today is God will fight our battles. You know, if we keep a humble heart, we stay humble before the Lord. God, he promised that he would avenge and that he would fight our battles. And we have to trust him to do that. We have to believe that he'll do that and just rest in that. And so, listen, the same Mordecai had done a great deed for the king beforehand and got no reward for it, all right? And so he didn't exalt himself. He didn't come before the king and say, I did this, this, and this. In fact, I saved your life, and you should be rewarding me. He didn't do that. He was still just moving along quiet, all right? And yet God, I got to say it was God. I got to say it was God. You won't find the scripture that say that God gave the man sleep to be removed from him. But Dr. Wilder is saying just had to be God's work. It had to be the work of the Lord that caused the king not to be able to sleep. And that's the same night that he couldn't sleep. The thing was, bring the books, bring the scrolls, bring them and just read to me. That's what they would do. And so when they started reading, they told about this incident that individuals had plotted to kill the king. And yet Mordecai had sent word to expose their plot. And therefore, the king's life had been preserved. You say that was incidental? I don't think so. I don't think that was accidental or incidental that would be the story that was read that particular night when this plot was out, this plot was going on, this intention was to kill Mordecai and the whole nation of Jews. I don't believe so. No, no, no. I just don't believe so. And so you can believe what you want, but look in your life. Look back over your life and see some of those times when you didn't have to fight for yourself. You didn't have to try to defend your reputation. You didn't have to convince somebody you hadn't told the story that had gotten out. They're saying you said you, and you managed to hold back and not try to defend yourself. And in a little while, the answer came that God spoke it. God let the people know that that wasn't true, that you hadn't said that, and what they were saying wasn't true about you either. Come on, take the time to look back, okay? I tell you, that was God intervening in your life, because if we just have a humble heart, just stay humble before the Lord and trust him, and remember, he promised to fight our battles, that he's doing it whether you recognize it or not. Remember, faith. With faith, it's, even though you don't see it, it's going on. It's believing it. It's believing it because you believe God's word, because we believe God's promise, and he said he would do it. Oh, my God. So here it was moments of the morning or whatever. Anyway, the king hearing this story, and his response was, wait, wait, wait. Oh, my goodness. He says, what was done for him? What reward did he get? And so they that were reading to him says, nobody, he hasn't been rewarded. So now, look, the king, the king says, oh, he got to be rewarded. So look, he says, king says, look out in the gate. Who's out there? Who do you see out there? Well, guess who was out there? You got it. You got it. You got it. You follow me really well today. Haman was out there. Haman was on his way, all so prideful and so sure that he had a solution to his problem to get rid of Mordecai, to get rid of him. He was coming to get permission to sure enough hang him, you know, for the gallows that he had already built and everything, all right? But guess what? The king says, bring him in. Bring him in. So then the king says to him, you know, ask him, what would you do? You know, what should be done for somebody that has done a great thing, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing it a little bit. What should be done for this person that's due honor? What should be done for them? Tell me. Take a minute to laugh with me, would you? Here it is, this individual that's coming who is making this nonsense, okay? The thing that, you know, this idea of building a gallows for Monica to be hung on, he made that presumption and was having it done before coming to the king. And then now the king is saying to him, you know, asking him about Mordecai, but he didn't know it's about Mordecai. His heart was so full of pride and so exalted that he was sure when the king says what should be done for somebody that should receive honor, he was so sure he was talking about him. He was absolutely positive that he was talking about him, that when the king says, what do you think should be done? What do you think should be done for this individual that's deserving of king's honor? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You guys said, Dr. Wilder, you're having too much fun. Well, I am having fun because it's in the word of God. And it's the same with our lives. And it's a lesson to us, a reminder to us that, yes, there are people around us. Some of you right now, some of you, you're managing to listen to this program, and you're saying, I know I'm being persecuted right now myself. People are lying on me, and I'm hurting so bad. I'm crying. I haven't done anything to these people. I haven't done anything. And yet, I don't know what to do or how to defend myself. This message is coming to let you know, hey, keep your trust in the Lord. Stay humble before God. Trust the Lord. He's the one that sees all and knows all. He is the one. Let me say it again. The Lord sees all and he knows all. Where did I get it from? In the Bible, he says that every creature is naked and revealed unto him. Nothing is hidden from him. He knows our thoughts from afar off. So listen, God sees it all and he knows it all. He knows who's doing the whispering. He knows who's lying. He knows why they're lying. Hey, let me say this to you. Look, this guy was upset with Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down before him. He was upset, you know, because he was different. He had already told the king, people are different. They don't follow the same rules, and they don't follow your rules. Hey, that's what you're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be as children of God. We are supposed to be different. We don't follow the same rules as the world has laid down. We follow God's rules. We follow the commands of God. Yes, in other words, hey, when he tells us to keep peace and have peace with men as much as possible that is within us, hey, that's not what the world is telling you to do. No, the world says, hey, if you disagree, no matter, and they've gotten to the point now that no matter what the office is, no matter who they are, who's in authority or whatsoever, because you have a right of freedom of speech, just let them know. Say what you want to say and all those kind of things. But, hey, if we follow the way the Lord says do it, we'll be in his good grace and we'll have favor with him and he will fight our battles. Yes, he will fight our battles. And so that's what was going on. Are you following me? There are twists and turns to this story. Hey, in other words, it's like one chapter and then another chapter and another chapter, but they all come together. Yes. Here it is. Esther placed in the king's palace. Esther, a Jewish young woman placed in this Persian capital. Oh, my God. And has favor with the king. And here it is, Mordecai. Hey, and out there, hey, not boasting about who he was, not boasting about a good deed he had done. No, just humble, having carried out this deed. And then you got this individual by the name of Haman. Oh, my God, who is high and lifted up in his own heart and his own mind, all right? So much so that when people wouldn't follow his direction, specifically Mordecai, he was all about destroying him. And not him only, but the people, his people. Oh, my Lord. And so here he comes marching in, and the king says this, makes a statement to him. What would you, what should be done? What should be done to somebody that deserves the king's honor? So listen to me. Listen. All right, here's Mordecai. hey, this must tell you. You've got to read between the lines. Actually, I don't think you need to read between the lines. I think if you know what pride looks like, you'll hear it here. First he says, He says, oh, you know, give him a royal robe that the king has worn. Place it on him, you know, a royal robe that the king has worn. Then he says, and then a horse on which the king has ridden. Okay. And then he says, and with a royal crest on his head. In other words, not just a horse that the king rode on, but one with put a royal crest on the horse. All of that is saying high and lifted up, exalted. Okay. Look, he said, then let the robe and horse be delivered to one of the king's most noble princes. Look, even noble princes, even one that's high. The princes were those that were in line for kingship. We're in line, right? But he said the most noble. In other words, not just any prince, but one that's high, one that's real well respected, so to speak, that he may array the man the king delights to honor. Did you follow me in reading that? Did you hear? Did you have any doubt that this man by the name of Haman was so exalted? I mean, I think I've got a picture of his chest being out so far that it's the one that his buttons weren't breaking off of his chest, weren't popping off. He was so self-exalted, so self-important. Oh, my God. He said, and he didn't stop there. He said, then parade him on horseback, city square, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Still thinking he's talking about himself. He's still thinking that the king was referring to him. All right? And then now the hammer falls. It says the king says to Haman regarding Mordecai. Woo! He says, leaving nothing undone of all that you have spoken, do it. You do it. It's not to be done for you or unto you, Haman. It is for you to do it unto Mordecai. Tell me God can't do it for you. Tell me with this story, somebody's being encouraged. Somebody's being reminded that God will take care of the matter for you. That's what I'm here for, to remind you that it's in the book. It's in the book. All right? And we know over and over again, you heard me say, the Bible tells us that the Bible is inspired by God to leave us these examples, to leave us instructions in righteousness, to let us know over and over that, hey, God will do it for us. And just like he did it for them, in this case, he did it for Mordecai. And as we move on, we'll see the rest of what he did. All right? He'll do it for us. Yes, he'll do it for you, honey. You're standing again, and you're crying now because you said, in fact, you were crying before you turned on the radio, before you dialed into this broadcast. Just wonder, what do I do? My reputation is being destroyed, and it's not true. And now you're hearing this word, and I tell you, the Bible says God is the same. Hey, he's the same. He himself said he changed not. He's the same yesterday. Hey, we can say this was yesterday in old times, okay, Old Testament times, all right? He says he's the same today and will be forevermore. And any that fear him or any that work righteousness, any that, you know, call on him, he's going to take care of the matter for you. Come on, trust the Lord. Come on, dry your eyes. Dry your eyes, honey, and look patiently upon the Lord. He's working it out. Look, in this story, God was doing it while, hey, life was just going on. While one was plotting, one was praying, and the other one, the one that had the power to do something other than God, was sleeping and couldn't sleep, was trying to sleep, all right, and couldn't sleep. And God was coming in the midst of that hour. You say, well, it's nighttime now, and people not going to be communicating. Well, listen, the Bible lets us know the wicked can't even sleep. The Bible says the wicked can't sleep, for they lay awake plotting what they can do against the righteous one. So your job is simply to make sure you're in good standing with God. That's what your assignment is, okay? Not to worry about what somebody's saying, not to try to defend your reputation, but just to make sure you're right before God. Mordecai, all right? He was concerned about his people. That's what he was concerned about. He didn't come even seek it for himself, but for his people, the Jewish nation that were down there and scattered throughout this province. That's what he was concerned about. And here it is, that thing happens. So here we are, okay? That again, the request comes again to Esther. He had made one request, all right? The king had already asked her before, you know, and now he comes again. He said, if I have found favor in your sight, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me and my people at my request. Woo! At my request, okay? So now even she was sick. She said, my life, but she didn't just talk about her life. She talked about her people. And so this is what ended up happening as a result of it all, of this prideful man, this man with this great pride, all right? This is what ended up happening for him, because the king honored Esther's request, and the king couldn't reverse her request that this thing be eradicated, that this thing be reversed. He couldn't do that because Haman had stamped king's ring, and over again it said, and once the king stamps it, that's it, it's law. But that didn't mean that another letter couldn't be written. So now, hey, that's what ended up happening, all right? He couldn't reverse it, but hey, first this is what happened. Haman was hanged on the gallows prepared for Mordecai. Yes. The same trap he was setting for Mordecai, he fell into it himself. I used to say all the time, when you're plotting against me, dig two holes. The hole you're digging for me and one for you. And when I got into the Bible and started studying scripture, I realized, and probably just the same scripture, I realized you don't have to dig two holes. Don't worry about the other one. The one you're digging is for you. Because when I line up with God, hey, the trap you're setting for me is really a trap that you're going to fall into. So that's what happened. Yes. So that same trap that he was setting for Mordecai, he was hung on the same gallows. And then guess what? All right? Haman's house was given to Esther. Yes. That all the gifts and all that all those high positions and the gifts that he had received, because the king had honored him before and had promoted him before, all right? All of that was taken away from him. All the things that to him should make Mordecai bow before him. Hey, and Mordecai held his place, trusting God, looking to God. Okay, not abandoning his belief. Let me say that. Not abandoning his belief and his trust, okay, that indeed this house was one of it. And the king took that away from him now. All right, he was hung. Then he took his house, and he gave it to Esther, Queen Esther, okay? And then the king took the signet ring that Haman had and gave it to Mordecai. That same ring that Haman had used to write this decree and dispersed it through all the provinces to destroy the Jews, that now Mordecai had it. He couldn't reverse. He couldn't stop what had been sent out. But guess what? He could write another letter, and that's what he and Esther did. They drafted another letter which counteracted what the edict had gone out before. They were to come and destroy the Jews throughout all the nations on this certain day. That's what they were supposed to do. That's what my text was reading about today, okay? That was the text I read in your hearing. Yes, that's when we get to the text that I read in your hearing, all right? That Mordecai wrote those things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, okay, to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar. In other words, this followed the fact that he had written, he and Esther had written another decree that where the Persians were to destroy the Jews, that now they had a letter to the Jews that gave them permission to fight for yourselves on the same day. It wouldn't be a one-sided thing. You don't have to sit there hopeless and helpless. Hey, now you have a letter that's also stamped with the king's signet that you can fight and you stand up for yourselves. Oh, my God. And indeed, they had. And though it was supposed to be one day, what happened is it ended up being 2 days. And so now this was a summary of it that he's saying to them. Now, not only will we have a reminder of how, hey, the victory came, that you got the victory. You were not destroyed. You, Haman wasn't around to destroy you. And though the letter of the direction to destroy the nation of the Jews could not be reversed, hey, you got an additional one that gave you permission. And the Bible says they just celebrated. They had joy. Hey, when they got the letters, when they knew that they can rise up and stand up against the Jews. Because remember, against the Persians, remember, this they were in captivity. They didn't feel that they could fight down there and win any battles. No, they were slaves there, so to speak. They were slaves, all right? But now when they got the same thing, the same letter, with the king's signature on it, that meant, hey, we won't be punished. We won't be punished for standing up for ourselves. We won't be punished. Oh, my God. Huh? Hey, so they did, and it ended up that 2 days were given to them, and it would be going on forevermore. It would be set as a memorial against what this evil individual had plotted, and that had then had this whole direction had gotten revealed. And now the king, because Mordecai found favor with him as well. Esther found favor, and then Mordecai, because of something he had done long before in saving the king's life. So he ends up with the text that I'm reading to you today. That was the summation, that text, okay? Okay, and it says, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turn from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make them days of feast and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, okay, to annihilate them, and had cast sure, all right, which means a lot, to, it's like casting dots, you know, throwing dots, all right, or drawing straws in some definition, to consume them and destroy them. Oh, God, but it says, this is a summary of all I've been telling you. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot, which Haman had devised against, you don't have to dig two holes. You're digging a hole for me to fall in. You're plotting against me. You're lying on me. You're telling untruths, and you're plotting for my destruction. But, hey, you're not right. You're not right. You don't have to dig another one. I'll just stand back and watch God fight my battle. And you end up stumbling and falling into this one that you had prepared for me. That's the word for this, for you guys today. Come on, pay attention, all right? You don't have to be out there trying to plot. You don't have to try to be out there trying to answer what they're saying. You don't have to be out there trying to tell all you know about them. I know you got anger and you say, I know this about that person. I know this dirt about them. I'll tell this and that. Well, you know, that's what bullies are doing, and that's what they're doing on media and everything. Hey, just putting everything out there. That's what they do when relationships fall apart, romantic relationships, whatever. They fall apart, and then you go back and you start talking all this negative stuff, all this trash, and uncovering stuff that you shouldn't uncover. Hey, don't do it. Don't do it. If you're honest and you're innocent, just wait on God. He promised your battle. He says he would avenge you. He promised. And he's true to his word, all right? And so, look, let me read that part again. He says, it says, but when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. All right? So, again, I come back to you today. Hey, there's a reward for seeking honor. When you seek the honor, there's a reward when you exalt yourself. There's a reward, hey, that when you want to put your name up there and you want to proclaim how great you are. In other words, have a proud heart. Now, listen, I'm not talking about having some pride in who you are in a child of God, but I'm talking about when it gets in the heart. And all we can talk about is I, me, oh, honor me, worship me and everything. We're getting in trouble. We are in trouble. And the reward of that is destruction. And here it is in the word of the Wilder saying it to you. It's in the word of God. And I can tell you for a fact, I mean, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. So what am I talking about? Being humble before God. Mordecai was humble. Esther was humble. She didn't try to just go bogarting her way before the king. She waited for permission to come in. She waited for him to ask her, what is it that you desire? What is your petition? She waited. Oh, my God. Somebody say, that's what I needed to hear, Dr. Wilder. I'll say it again. She waited. Okay? He waited. He didn't go pronouncing some position or, again, reminding, I did this, I did that. No, they were humble. They were humble. And the scripture, again, you say, where do you find that in Proverbs 15 and 33? The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And I don't know about you, but just this story puts fear in me. Hey, come on back. And there are more stories like this in the Bible, similar ones, where individuals exhausted themselves and God came in. Oh, my God. All right? And destruction came upon them, all right? So, hey, it's not just one account, and it's not one word to exalt you and to give you to check yourself. Come on, check yourself. Evaluate yourself. And again, I'm not saying, hey, that you don't proud of being a child of God, but I'm talking about that prideful heart that comes out in your conversation. That's what was in his conversation, in Haman's conversation. Oh, give him a royal robe that the king has worn. In other words, hi. Give him a horse, okay, on which the king has ridden. Right? And on the horse, put a royal crest on his head. And then, you know, put the robe, and then he and the horse be galloped through, sitting through the city, or, you know, arrayed through the city, all right? And then even one that's high in position is the one that's to take him out there and parade him in the city and make this proclamation. That was all pride. You can hear it. You can hear it. Oh, my God. You can hear it. It was in his heart. Say anything with humility. He couldn't say anything from a humble heart. It had overtaken him. Pride had overtaken him. And in every word of his conversation was it coming out. So when I say to you, check yourself, pay attention to what you're saying. Check your heart. Is it in your heart? Is it in your heart that you're high and lifted up? The Bible just told us, okay? He says humility, humility. In another verse, he says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. What did he want? He had been given much. He had a house. Haman had been given a house. He had position. He had all of that, okay? But he wasn't satisfied, okay? So Proverbs 22 and 4 says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. So the word of God today, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you. That's also in the Bible. And remember, reward for seeking honor is, just remember, this account of scripture that is written in the book of Esther. Humility, you got humility. You know, you got fear, you got self-exaltation. You got, hey, in the midnight hour, God is working for you. All the time when you think maybe he's not even doing anything, you think that he's forgotten you. You think that, hey, God don't know anything about me. God has forgotten me. God rewards everybody but me. That this scripture, I'm begging you, read the text. Read the text, and you're going to find out, hey, God doesn't forget. He has a way of getting the word across to the one that's going to honor him and obey him. And so, as I get ready to close right now, I just keep reminding you, search your heart and know that there is a reward for seeking honor. There's a reward, and that reward is destruction, all right? So, but by humility, all those things that you would want to exalt yourself for will come. That's what it said. So speak good. Speak peace of all, not high-minded, humble. Mm-hmm. All the things that Haman desired, hey, these humble individuals received, all of it was given to Esther and Mordecai. All of it, position, houses, riches, all of that was given to them because they stayed humble, okay, before God and followed the rules. Okay? They didn't try to exalt themselves, and they didn't try to come against anybody, all right? But indeed, when their time came to speak what they desired, it was given to them. Permission was given to them to protect themselves, so to speak, all right, to stand up for themselves. And then all these other things were given as well, the house and the ring, the signet ring, all right, was taken from that one, from Haman, and given to Mordecai. Well, it was given to Esther, and Esther turned the house, his house, over to Mordecai. So either way, it ended up with the two of them, all right? So this is the word that I bring to you today. Come on, humble ourselves. We got to stay humble before the Lord. Come on, search your heart today, and let's stay humble before God. He won't leave you missing anything. He won't let you miss anything. He'll fight your battles, and he will reward you for your humility. Humility. By the fear of the Lord humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. What else are you seeking for? Riches, honor, and life. Hey, how will they come? Through humility and fear of the Lord. Yes, they will. I'll tell you again, that's Proverbs 22:4. All right? So until the next in this place, I look to hear from you at Dr. Annie B. Wilder at gmail.com. That's DRANNIE, the letter B, WILDER, at gmail.com. Until next time, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. A wonderful day. Blessings now.